Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.
Good morning and welcome to the BizNews Daybreak. Today is Thursday, the 6th of August. I'm Kerry Lanigan. First up, Bloomberg News Now with the latest overnight world news.
Google is losing some of its top names in a shakeup that's casting doubt over leadership. More from Bloomberg's Matt Piper.
Among those leaving Google, Jeff Dean, a longtime Google employee, central to the development of the company's AI strategy. He is departing to launch a startup and is bringing along at least three other prominent DeepMind employees to his new venture. Demis Hassabis, the head of Google DeepMind, is moving into a chairman role and will assume the dual titles of chairman of Google DeepMind and chief scientist of Alphabet. The changes in leadership may make it harder for Google to recruit top talent and compete with rival labs.
Major hedge funds were targeted by hackers who launched a wave of sophisticated attacks targeting information systems at major money managers, according to people familiar with the matter. Point72 Asset Management, Millennium Management, Two Sigma Investments, and Citadel, as well as several private equity firms, are known to have been targeted. Cybersecurity breaches on Wall Street have surged over the past year, helped by AI. Bloomberg's Hema Parmer has more on the cyber attack attempt.
So this is called a vishing attack. It's like a voice phishing. So the technology is when cyber hackers can employ technology to mimic the voice and sound of people on the phone to alert people into believing that it's not a technology and have people reveal sensitive information. So this vishing technology is becoming more prevalent.
Meta Platforms said one of its artificial intelligence models accessed the internet and hacked into an outside services systems during cybersecurity testing. Meta said its model breached the systems of a third-party service without identifying the service. The AI model had access to the internet because of an error in the setup testing environment, which Meta was working on with the cybersecurity vendor Irregular. This follows similar breaches by OpenAI and Anthropic models that have escalated concerns about the company's control over their technology. President Trump has spoken repeatedly with Federal Reserve Chair Kevin Warsh. That's according to a report from the Wall Street Journal. Trump has sought Warsh's counsel on a range of matters that includes how the war in Iran and the rapid rise of artificial intelligence are affecting the economy. The Journal also said that Trump hasn't broached the topic of interest rates since Warsh was confirmed by the Senate. SanDisk reported fourth quarter revenue and profit that surpassed analyst estimates. However, shares slipped in late trading. That is after the company's forecast revenue outlook for the first quarter missed expectations. Here's Jake Silverman, semiconductor analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence.
The most important thing for investors to keep in mind right now is supply and demand. And so that's what they're really looking at, is the pace of these upward estimate revisions that we've seen on pricing for NAND. So the deceleration that we're seeing was expected, but also investors want to see the rate not decelerate quite at the same pace that it actually is.
Zuma appointed his son, Dudezane, as MKP deputy president, and Ramaphosa has been sitting on the Madlanga Commission's second interim report for over 2 months. Political commentator Solly Moeng gave Chris Stain his take on both. The full interview is on biznews.com.
You know, the last time we discussed Zuma, I said Zuma is being Zuma. I'm quite impressed by how South Africans pretend to be surprised. I mean, this was long coming. This was very long coming. I mean, Zuma was never going to exclude his son from it. Even his Duduzile, the twin sister, I think there's going to be a time when he's going to bring her back in. Rather, I think that Zuma is playing a game. He knows how to play this game. He knows how to play everybody. He knows how to play, you know, that the whole saying, slowly, slowly catch the monkey. And he does it very well. He's charming and he's very approachable, but he has a game plan, and people tend to underestimate that game plan. But he still has a lot of questions to respond to in regard to state capture, the Guptas, and so does Duduzane. I mean, he was the key BEE partner of the Guptas, almost in all of their companies. He's the same person who was involved in, remember, the former minister, Tracy Jonas. Apparently, he was over 600 million rands at some point to do some things for them, and they would make him minister of finance ahead of of Pravin Gordhan being released. But Duduzane is said to have been in that room when all those things were made, but he hasn't been arrested. The Guptas are on the run. They are wanted by the South African. Apparently, they are wanted. There's been extradition attempts. But he has been coming and going, going back to Dubai, showing off his boats and his beautiful apartments and the life there, all gained at the expense of the South African taxpayer. But there are still many fools in this country who consider him to be a hero. So I don't know. South Africans, we're like suckers for self-flagellation.
Over to President Cyril Ramaphosa. He received the second interim report of the Matonga Commission of Inquiry on the 30th of May, over 2 months ago. We still do not know what findings that report contains.
Yeah, the president seems to be arguing that he's not going to release any report until the final report is given to him. So while the Matonga Commission is still doing its work, he doesn't want to confuse the public by issuing statements, especially if there are people who might still be called to testify. He doesn't want to issue stuff and make it hard for them. That's the argument that he's giving. I think this the soundness to it, if you want. But South Africans are tired of just sitting there and being asked to wait. You know, we're being played. Either way, you know, there's still information that was alluded to, for instance, in terms of the five key players in this whole thing. The names have not all come out. It seems like there's always a name or two that gets protected. We get other things get thrown at us until we forget the other names. So the parliament is doing the right thing to keep pressuring Ramaphosa, to keep pressurizing him to do the right thing. And I hope that at some point nobody gets away with it.
Next up, we've got Alec Hogg on BizNews Edge. Fresh polling showed the ANC collapsing in Johannesburg. Palantir surged 29% overnight. And Elon Musk laid out just how far ahead SpaceX and Starlink already were. Check out biznews.com for more.
Well, let's start off in Johannesburg and the Democratic Alliance in the latest polling from the Social Research Foundation is coming out at 42% of the vote. So the blue machine, the granny or Gogo Helen, driving to a very comprehensive victory. But they need over 50%, she says, to be sure that they have the votes to be able to do what needs to be done in Johannesburg to turn it around. While the DA may be celebrating these figures to a degree, they aren't there yet. And there's an excellent article on BizNews today from Jonathan Katzenellenbogen, who says that it's a toss-up between the DA getting the mayoral position and a really messy coalition. Meantime, the ANC has fallen out of bed in Johannesburg, down from 34% in the 2021 election to 30% as recently as March, but subsequent to that, down to just 18%. And now it's within touching distance of Jacob Zuma's breakaway MK party, which has come from 8% in March to 13% now. The big loser at the moment outside of the ANC appears to be Action SA, and that in the 2021 election, when it was a young party with 16%, is down to 10%. This is the latest polling from the Social Research Foundation.
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it comes. Bonitas Medical Aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
Cully Creel told Chris Stein exactly what the Expropriation Act meant in practice, and why MK-controlled municipalities, after November's elections, were a particular concern. The full interview is on biznews.com.
What are the implications for landowners and property owners, but also all the people in the country? Let's start off with all the people in the country. If you look what, and this is not new news, that is why it's so astonishing that the ANC does not learn from this. When you have the slightest implication or send the slightest signal that you don't respect property rights, it has a detrimental effect on the country's economy. This is not just a slight indication. It states quite clearly that there would be infringement of property rights without compensation. And we can look at what happened in Zimbabwe. We can look what happened in Venezuela. You have hyperinflation, growing unemployment, growing poverty levels to such an extent that people are fleeing over the borders from Zimbabwe to South Africa. And the same arguments that we hear now from the ANC and the EFF and MK was used there. It was so-called to give land to the landless and the poor. What happened? It was elite enrichment, like we see with BEE. It was land and farms for friends and party loyalists, while ordinary people suffered because of that. That is the economic implications, and that's why we believe it's disloyal to the country to try and promote such an act. With regard to the implications on a specific landowner, what happens, remember, there are now over 400 expropriation authorities that they call them. That includes municipalities that has the power to expropriate. After the municipal election, we will most probably have a number of municipalities under MK control, for instance. Then they can use that Section 12(3) to expropriate without compensation.
And finally, Bloomberg reported that Uber's share price dipped after its bookings outlook only just met estimates. But CEO Dara Khosrowshahi told Bloomberg he saw no signs of consumer slowdown.
Yeah, the gross bookings results that we had, up 22% in the quarter, were actually very healthy and represented quarter-on-quarter acceleration. Mobility business was stable at 20%. The delivery business actually accelerated quarter-on-quarter as well. So the business continues to grow at pretty extraordinary rates at the scale. We're doing over 300 million trips per week. It drove really strong profitability as well. The pressure that we talked about was really in Brazil, which caused a trip slowdown for the quarter. And that was actually about competition in the food delivery space. In Brazil, actually, we have a lot of mobility ridership that are two-wheelers. We actually don't engage in the food delivery space, but there's a big war going on in food delivery, and that took away some of our two-wheeler drivers from mobility to delivery because they're getting paid a lot to engage in that war. It really has no effect on us whatsoever. So the guidance that we gave for forward gross bookings growth is very consistent with the guidance that we gave last quarter. And hopefully we will meet and hopefully beat those kinds of expectations.
Dara, is there anything to discuss on both like the health but and behavior of the consumer that you're seeing going into the second half of this year?
All signs point to a healthy consumer. We look at both our mobility and delivery business in terms of the growth of those businesses. They continue to be healthy. We look at like other indications. Are consumers trading down and eating at more affordable restaurants, or are eaters leaving less tips, eaters or riders leaving less tips? We don't see any signs whatsoever of a consumer slowdown, so the consumer remains strong. And then on the labor front, actually, our driver earnings, we've got over 10 million now earners around the world. That continues to be very healthy. And in the U.S., for example, driver earnings are up 8% on a year-on-year basis. So, you know, people talk about the K-shaped economy, but we think both sides of the K continue to be very healthy. And right now, all signs point to the same going forward.
That's it for this morning's BizNews Daybreak. I'm Kerry Lanigan. Thanks for listening.
Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.